Good morning.
Good morning.
I missed you guys yesterday, but I guess you got to see everybody else, so that's pretty good too. But this morning, as usual, I have someone else to bring to you, somebody that you probably at least briefly saw yesterday, even though you may not have realized that you did. Ben Sharon is one of our AFCO students this semester, and while he looks like he may just be from around the block, it's an awfully large block, as you'll find out momentarily. Ben, come on up.
Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, let's start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing me here, first of all, and for everything that you've done for me, and for especially for bringing me here to AFCO. I pray that you be with me this morning as I share my testimony, share what you've done in my life. I pray that you will be glorified, and please just help me to speak your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Good. Okay. There we go. Okay. So first off, let's read this text, 1 Samuel 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Okay, so... I don't need to use it for a while, you just play with it for... Okay. So... This morning I'd like to share with you some of the things that God has done in my life. He's done great things for me. I was born and raised in an Adventist home, in a very good home, by and large. And so I praise him for that, and I thank him for that. I wish I could say, like the text here, that I served him all my life, and completely with all my heart, but... unfortunately, I can't say that, but I just praise him for what he's done for me. I was born in Oregon, in Salem, near Salem, Oregon, and I lived there for the first 7 or 8 years of my life. Back then, my parents were Adventists. They'd been raised Adventists. Their parents, grandparents, everyone I know of has always been Adventists. But they were kind of nominal Adventists. It didn't really mean a lot to them. And my dad worked really hard. He was a workaholic. He owned a very successful business. We had a very, very big house. And my mom liked to shop a lot. She shopped all the time. And so on the outside, we may have looked like a nice Adventist family, but I don't think God thought so. The earliest memories I have is of my mom and dad fighting and yelling at each other, and that's kind of the way it was back then. So when I was 7, my mom went on a mission trip to Russia. That trip changed her life. She was on the way over there. She got extremely sick and almost died from it, and she had to stop in Sweden and get off the flight in Sweden, and there was a miracle that saved her life, and that changed her life. And then later, when she finally got to Russia, seeing the commitment from some of the Adventists there that had lived in the that had faced death from the communists in Russia, that was one of the things that got her to thinking. So when she got back home, she gathered the family together, and my dad and everyone. We were kind of little, but I still remember the meeting. And she said that she wasn't satisfied with her religious experience anymore. And she told my dad that she had been materialistic, and she asked his forgiveness for that. And then she suggested that, why don't we move somewhere and start over, she said. Start over from scratch. So eventually, we decided to move. We sold our house, and we moved to the mountains in Idaho, to a bare piece of land way up in the mountains. For people from suburban Oregon, that was a big adjustment. We lived in a tent. We lived in a tent, and then later we built a pole barn. You know, people always say that, sometimes you hear people say, I wasn't born in a barn. I wasn't either, but I lived in one. I lived in one for like 5 or 6 years. So, let's see, where are we? So in the new environment there, we started to study, my parents started to study their Bibles as kids. Begin to read our Bibles too, and we had devotions, and then we had family worships every day, and we started to really grow close as a family, and we started to grow spiritually too, and so it was a good experience, and I remember that time with the fondest memories. It was so much better than our old life in Oregon with all the money and everything. We lived like dirt poor, but we had everything. And so I really appreciate my parents for making that decision, and I praise God for that. We were homeschooled. It wasn't easy for my mom, but I appreciate her for doing that. So now, and then, so fast forwarded a few years, I was baptized, and it was going good. So now I'm going to fast forward again to just a couple of years ago. By that time, we had moved to Montana, even farther out in the wilderness, and to a little place that's completely surrounded by national forest, and so everything was going pretty good, but we started to feel like something was missing, like we were missing something. We had family worship, we were close as a family, but something was missing. And so one day we had a family council, family powwow, and sat down and discussed it. What's missing? We read some from the Spirit of Prophecy, some of them from the Bible, and we decided that the major thing we had left out of our experience was witnessing and reaching out to other people. We'd been kind of in the passive mode. We thought, well, if we're a good, godly family, then we'll be a good witness to other people. But we hadn't really done anything actively to witness to other people. So we began brainstorming what we could do. So my mom and one of my brothers became EMTs, and they found ways to witness in our little town, serving in the community on the ambulance, and my dad and some of my other brothers sometimes would go door to door doing surveys and passing out books, but I didn't really fit into any of those. I'm not much of a door to door kind of person, even though I'm at AFCO. It's tough. And I'm not an EMT either, so I was praying to God. I was praying, trying to find what God wanted me to do personally to serve Him. And I knew I wanted to use my life to serve God, but I didn't know exactly how. And so that summer we were camping with some friends up in Glacier National Park, and an old family friend of ours asked me to go help him with a project in India. And I told him no way. I told him I don't want to go to India. And I'm a kind of person that's kind of shy, and I don't like to stand out. And I just figured that in India I would really stand out. So, and also I didn't have money, you know, we're dirt poor, coming up with $2,000 to fly overseas is like, there's no way. So I told him, no way. He said, well, why don't you pray about it and see if you can't raise some money? I said, no way, I'm not going to raise money. I'm not going to ask anyone for money. So I didn't. But God provided the money in such a miraculous way that there was no way I could say no. I knew it was him wanting me to go. So I ended up going with our friend to India and stopped in Thailand on the way. And it was there that I felt God calling me to stay there and serve him there. I'd grown up thinking that mission work was like almost finished around the world. I don't know if any of you have ever thought this, but I always thought that America was the last big mission field and the rest of the world had already been reached. And because, you know, people always say, if you talk about missions, they always say, you don't need to go overseas. There's a big mission field right here, they always say. So I figured like everyone else had already been reached. And so when I got over there, I found like there's hardly any Christians at all. Like they haven't been reached at all. And so I just felt like God was calling me to serve him there. And also I saw some of the physical suffering in India. Some of the people are really, really poor. In Thailand, I saw some of the refugees from Burma who had been through terrible experiences with the fighting and the war there in Burma. So I didn't feel like I could just take pictures and say hi and then go back home and not do anything to help them. So that's how I got to Asia. So I've been in Asia for the last 5 years now. So I've been teaching English and Bible in a couple different schools. And is that ready yet? Okay, well, I can tell you a little bit about my school anyway, even if you can't see the pictures. The school I've spent the last 2 years teaching at, we call it Karen Avanis Frontier Academy. And it's in Burma, in the mountains. And it's way out there in the wilderness. Like, I used to think that we lived like way out in the wilderness when we lived in Montana, but this is like way farther. And there's no roads or anything. You drive by truck from the nearest little town in Thailand for 5 hours, and then you go by boat for 5 hours, and then you hike on foot for 4 or 5 days to get in there. So it's a way out there. And it's in Burma. Burma is a war-torn country. There's a lot of violence around there. There's the Karen rebels and fighting the Burmese military. So a lot of our students are orphans, hurt in the who've lost their parents in the fighting, and there's landmines all over the place. They won't let me out of the school campus just for without a bodyguard for security purposes. And so last year, one of our students stepped on a landmine, unfortunately. And it was really sad. It took his leg off. But they made a bamboo leg and put it on there, and he was back on his feet within a few months. Just before I came back down, I saw him. He was walking around again. So that's kind of the place I've been living for the last few years. And the work up there is, the people up there, they're Karen animists. You've probably read the stories of Eric B. Hare, right? Probably some of you. He was a missionary there years and years ago. It's the same area. And the people up there are just wonderful, and the gospel is wide open One of the villages I went to, like, everyone in the village came to me and said they wanted to be baptized. And I said, well, I'm not a pastor. You'll have to wait for the pastor to come. And they were really disappointed. And so I wish I could show you pictures, but maybe we should close now. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everything you've done for me and for leading and guiding in my life. I pray that you be with each one of these people here that are working at Amazing Facts and all the good work they're doing here. I pray that you guide and direct this ministry and send your spirit to be in each of these people's hearts and in the buildings here and help them work efficiently for your glory. Please be with my family and please be with me as we work in Burma and Thailand and just guide and direct us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you.